AdNews Mobility Revolution podcasts are a series of interviews in which we ask thought leaders and innovators at the forefront of the marketing and communication industries six key questions. In this series, we explore the trend towards mobility and examine new marketing opportunities and media platforms which are providing innovative ways to connect with consumers. This series of interviews is an educational initiative supported by the Australian Association of National Advertisers and the Australian Marketing Institute.
Welcome to AdNews Mobility Revolution 2008 podcast series. I'm Peter Stevenson from On Communications, and we're about to talk with Jason Spiro, Vice President Marketing of AdMob, who have created the world's largest network of mobile websites for advertising. G'day, Jason, and welcome to Six Questions.
Oh, thanks, Peter. It's good to be here.
And we're talking to you, Jason, from what, west coast of the US?
That's right. We're in Northern California.
Okay.
Just south of San Francisco.
Sounds great. Jason, we're here to talk to you about the mobile internet and how your company's delivering billions. And I thought I misread that when I checked your website first time, but you guys have built a mobile marketplace and you're delivering billions of targeted ads to mobile devices. Last time I checked, AdMob, your company, had served over 24 billion ads worldwide. Is that correct?
That's right. We are in the process of preparing a party because actually sometime in the next 12 to 15 hours, we're going to cross the 25 billion threshold this evening. So we try not to make the milestones too big a deal.
Yeah.
But that's right.
25 billion. How long have you guys been in business?
Company's been in business just over 2 years.
Okay.
We're approaching sort of our 30-month anniversary here, but things are happening very, very quickly.
I can well imagine. Jason, just for our listeners, could you help us out and just explain in really simple terms, you've created an online mobile marketplace that connects advertisers with mobile internet content publishers through mobile phones. Is that correct?
That's right.
And how does it work?
So we, as a company, are based on the idea that there's a great big wide open mobile internet out there, and that's going to be really powerful for advertisers. But most of those sites that people are reaching on their mobile phones don't have a sales organization, and they don't have a mechanism by which to engage advertisers. So AdMob is what is often called in advertising circles an advertising network. We use the word marketplace interchangeably. But the idea is that an advertiser can, through a fairly simple online PC interface, buy targeted ads to reach combinations of sites. And we've got 4,500 sites in the network now, and we're serving approximately 100 million ads per day, which comes to about $3 billion a month now.
Wow. Jason, just in terms of that, I'll ask a question that I was going to ask earlier. You've got a bid-type process that works on the site. So in a really simplistic terms, again, an advertiser can go onto your site and create a campaign that's all automated, and then they can bid for specific areas and specific content?
That's right, Peter. We have a number of targeting parameters. So the first thing you do is you set your targeting, and so you might be interested in reaching people in Australia. And after that, you can narrow down your audience, because obviously reaching a particular audience is important to an advertiser to make the call to action compelling.
Yep.
So once you've selected your targeting, you then bid against people who are desiring similar inventory.
Yep.
And the way the bid process works is we establish a relatively low minimum based on markets, and then we allow the market to set the price.
Okay. And what are the mobile content and service areas that, you know, I mean, I imagine it's going off in the US as it is everywhere, but what are the big areas, the hot areas of content and service areas that people are seeking to access via their mobiles these days?
Well, you're right that it's the growth has exploded of late. I think some of that we can thank our service providers for making it a little more approachable from a cost perspective. In answer to your question, like the internet, there's pockets of things that a broad variety of people do. We're seeing a lot of popularity around weather sites, a lot of popularity around maps,
okay, yeah,
communications, and a lot of popularity around community.
And when you say communications and community, are you talking about Twitter or social networks? Or
I think both would fit, yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
We're seeing any number of sites where you can view profiles and engage with the folks in those profiles. In maybe a more lightweight version of what you're accustomed to in a social network, but the experience is pretty similar.
Okay. And so there's, from a marketer's perspective and for advertising, you know, I read that you've got two different kinds of formats, if you like. There's a graphical style banner ad and also text link ads. Can you tell us a little bit about the benefits of those different formats?
Yeah, of course. So they're different in format. They appear in similar positions on mobile web pages, but they're different in format and how they're priced.
Yeah.
Advertisers have different goals. Some are more eager to drive a click or drive a user to visit a mobile web page, and so we price that on a cost per click basis, and that's for a text link campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain class of advertiser that's just looking to drive traffic, and this is the most efficient and effective cost way for them to do that.
Okay.
Similarly, there's other advertisers who also value an impression or a interaction with a brand via a graphic.
Right.
So the ability to put a banner, and a banner is a fairly well-understood metaphor from the PC internet, the ability to put a banner in front of a mobile user is valued by other advertisers who are looking for that brand engagement. Both are clickable, and both are performing quite well from a click-through rate perspective right now.
So what I'm doing is I'm on my mobile phone, I'm on the internet via my mobile phone, I'm searching around for a map or I'm interacting with somebody, and really what happens is on my screen, on the mobile, up pops one of these ads when I've reached a mobile website.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, and then I can click onto that and travel off wherever.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a metaphor or an experience that's quite familiar to the user from the PC internet.
Mate, let's talk about results. I mean, I saw that you had a 20% opt-in rate for a campaign, I believe a brand campaign for Adidas.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that great figure. In any kind of medium or marketing, if you're getting that kind of response rate, I think you'd be pretty happy. I mean, I see that as a pretty solid response rate for a brand-style campaign. I assume they were running a brand-style campaign. Is that seen as a good return on investment? Do you have averages or norms?
I think the easiest way to look at return on investment is to look at which customers come back. Obviously,
yeah.
No medium is right for all advertisers, and obviously it also depends on execution and putting the right message in front of the right user. But what I can say is, we talked about two ad units a minute ago. The text link ads are performing to probably an average of about a 1% click-through rate, which is approximately 10 times that on the PC internet.
Yep.
And the banner ads are performing to approximately an average of about 2% click-through rate. So what we're seeing is that users are willing and interested in engaging in these messages and clicking on these ads. What's, I think, maybe even more surprising is what you mentioned a minute ago, which is an engagement rate or an opt-in rate. Whether it's any number of different calls to action after that initial click, we're seeing users have great interest in clicking to call or clicking to watch video,
mm-hmm.
or even submitting some personal information to get more material from a particular advertiser. So we're seeing both at the point where they engage the ad and then after the click where they engage the value proposition,
yeah.
we're seeing users responding quite well to ads in this medium. But I also want to end that particular thought by saying it's not right for everybody, and there's certain purchases that either require more research or the simple way of saying is not everything has worked, but we've been encouraged by the number of the advertisers who come back for second, third, and fourth campaigns.
And you're getting some big brands coming back for second, third, and fourth campaigns?
We are indeed. So you mentioned Adidas. If I talk quickly about the categories, I give a lot of credit to Hollywood. Hollywood has been an early adopter of this medium and has been here since.
Mm-hmm.
It continues to be a powerful way to launch a movie or a home video and such. We've seen a huge uptake in the auto sector. We're currently running campaigns for Toyota, Ford, Land Rover, Jaguar, and more, which has been a really, really healthy and happy surprise for us because I think it's met all of their expectations and more as well. You've seen consumer packaged goods as a category do quite well, and we keep seeing more experimentation in new categories, so we expect it to continue to grow.
Okay, and just a question on the side. Who's actually producing the good work, the good creative work? Is it coming from digital agencies, from ad agencies, from are you guys doing it? Who's actually producing the good creative work?
You know, it's an insightful question, Peter, because we're happiest when we do what we're great at, which is building technology that helps advertisers reach people. But early in a medium's existence, we found that the experience of the creative is actually greater here than it might be at an agency. So in many cases, the agencies ask us for best practices around building landing pages and for help with A-B tests around the creative itself. I think over the course of the last 6 months, you've seen agencies take a huge step up, going from one or two people who are their mobile specialists to starting to have the intelligence and experience built into each of their media buying and media creation teams.
Yeah, it's interesting because over here, I'm sure it's similar to there. We're seeing a lot of, it's not lazy and it's not people who aren't trying, but a lot of the pre-rolls and online video is people just picking up a TV spot and throwing it onto the internet. and they're missing out on so much potential to get increased response or interaction.
I agree. I think you're looking at a future where people will build media specifically for mobile.
Yep.
But I think that one of the things that helps people add mobile to their existing campaigns is to leverage the assets they already have, whether that's a video that's been built for YouTube or a call center that's been built for a catalog business.
Right.
Both can be huge assets as you bridge to mobile, and over time, the people in that call center will have a different script, and over time, the video will be something built specifically for mobile. But with regard to experimenting and learning about what this medium is capable of, those assets are actually very important.
That's great. Look, just to finish up, what you've triggered there as a thought in my mind is, how are people, you know, what we set out to do here ourselves is to always try and mix non-traditional and traditional together so that we don't do one-off silo-based activities. Are you finding over there that people are utilising AdMob as part of a more integrated campaign, or is it more sort of soulless focus?
I think it cuts along the lines we spoke earlier about performance and brand advertisers. Most of the brand advertisers, the buy is done as part of a broader campaign that may encompass outdoor and may encompass interactive.
Okay. Yep.
Whereas a lot of the performance advertisers are actually trying to tailor their creative more and are trying to buy specifically for this medium and understand the performance that this medium can generate from an ROI perspective.
So how are you guys operating in Australia, by the way?
You know, we let the machine do most of the work.
Yeah, okay.
So people find us, right? And anywhere that English is a language that people do business, we found that without having people on the ground, we can do quite well.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that Australia has been a place where we've done better than we might have expected. We also do kind of a full-serve ad sales effort that that engages agencies, and a full-serve what we call business development effort, which engages some of the larger publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, as you might imagine, some folks need a little more hand-holding and don't want to sign a custom agreement. And so we've concluded that it's time for us to pay more attention to Australia.
Well, Jason, look, thank you very much for spending the time with us today. I'd just like to be one of the first to say congratulations on the $25
billion. I think you are the first. So thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me.
What's the cocktail of choice tonight?
I prefer a margarita anytime I can get one.
Good on you, mate. Well, listen, I hope you have a couple tonight and really relax and enjoy yourself. Thank you for sharing your learnings and insights with us. We'll put a link on our library page for anyone who wants to check out the AdMob site, or they can simply just visit admob.com. Jason, thanks very much and have a good party tonight.
Much appreciated. Thanks, Peter.
Ad News Podcast Series is an initiative from Oncom Communications and Stellar Sound. Ad News is Australia's top-selling advertising, marketing and media magazine. Visit oncom.com.au for marketing trend information and to register for a free fortnightly review newsletter. That's oncom.com.au.